Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, what's going on? It's your man, Funness, and I am here. We are together, broadcasting live via Blog Talk Radio and Be Live TV. Welcome to Real and Raw, no holds barred relationship conversation. I'm looking forward to tonight's show. Let me give you our guest call-in number. It is 657-383-0106, 657-383-0106. Also, you can hit us up in the chat, and I'm just going to check Facebook really quickly to make sure that we are good, and we are good. Let me make sure that our sound is good on Facebook.
And I'm just going
to, yep, our sound is good. I shouldn't say yep, yes. So let me just hit us up right now and say welcome to the broadcast. Please to join the chat. Everybody, I'm going to get right into the show tonight. Tonight's topic, thank you for the person who just logged on. Tonight's topic is when a woman says no. She may not say it like that. She may say no. She may say, I said no. When a woman says no, very important, because it seems like there are men, and yes, this is a bi-gender, if that's the right word, a male-female phenomenon, female-female phenomenon, yes, in general. However, the overwhelming majority of the situations today have involved men who do not seem to know what to do when a woman says no. Thank you for those who are just logging on. So I've got to deal with it from a male perspective. Stay tuned next week for when a man says no. Now, I know we don't really think that we as men say no to sexual advances, but we do. So next week, what do you do when a man says no? Tonight, what do you do when a woman says no? And I looked at a list of men accused of sexual misconduct. Absolutely mind-boggling. You understand me? It is absolutely mind-boggling. It's turning a text right now. Just check this out. Let's make sure we're good on Be Live. Yes, we're good. Thank you for those who are logging on. Ricky Vera, what's up? A list of men accused of sexual misconduct and the fallout for each. This came out in the New York Times. Looks like November 10th. I'm just going to go down the list. Listen, November 10th, Andrew Kreisberg, executive producer of Arrow, Supergirl, and The Flash. Accusation, sexual harassment of more than a dozen women. The fallout, suspended by the Warner Brothers TV group. You know what? I'm not going to. Okay, all right. I will read this. Look, his response. I have made comments on women's appearances and clothes in my capacity as an executive producer, but they were not sexualized. Like many people, I have given someone a non-sexual hug or kiss on the cheek. He denied the accusation. Listen, let me just say this. The sexual nature of any behavior is determined by the recipient, not the giver. Am I going to get in trouble for that? I don't know, but I got to say that. I'll say that again. The sexual nature of any comment or any behavior is determined by the recipient, not the giver. So for Andrew Kreisberg, and I'm not outing him, this is the New York Times, who says it was non-sexual. How do you know it was non-sexual? Maybe your intention was non-sexual, but if the person being hugged or being kissed, and you know what? I work in corporate America. I think we have to be very, 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 very careful, men, physical with women in the workplace. It is such a sensitive area. How do you do? Did he ask permission? I'm just interpreting what he wrote, what he read. Should I say what he said? Did he ask for it? Did he ask, or did he just do it? Did he just reach out to hug, or did he ask? I don't know. Let me move on. November 9th, Louis C.K. Accusation: sexual misconduct with five women, including exposing himself and masturbating in front of them. The fallout: FX and other media companies cut ties, movie release and comedy specials were canceled. This is what he wrote. I read his entire response. Not going to read it right now. What I will read is the most telling part of it. He said, "These stories are true. I have been remorseful of my actions." So Louis C.K., I do not condone what you did. I do respect the courage for you to come out and tell the truth. Goodness. It's interesting, and I'm no prude. It's just crazy. So let me go on to the next. Benjamin Genocchio, executive producer of the Armory Show Art Fair, sexual harassment, including unwelcome touching of five women. He was replaced. That's the fallout. To the extent my behavior was perceived as disrespectful, I deeply and sincerely apologize and will ensure it does not happen again. Well, after him being replaced, I'm sure it won't. David Guillaud, November 3rd, accusation, sexual assault of four women. He resigned. Yet he denies any allegations of non-consensual sex. Really? Jeff Hoover, November 1st, Kentucky Speaker of the House. Was it Ray Moore, the politician, I think, out of Alabama? We don't even get to him right now. Accusation: sexual harassment and inappropriate text messages. Fallout: resigned leadership position but remained in the legislature as of November 10th. His response: I engaged in banter. That was consensual, but make no mistake, it was wrong on my part to do that. And for that, I'm truly sorry. I want to reiterate that at no time did I engage in unwelcome or unwanted conduct of any kind. But he was accused of sexual harassment. So do you see the mindset of these men? See, for that, they're not acknowledging how their behavior was received. And just because there wasn't a response initially does not mean that the women, and I'm assuming women, who were the recipients of the banter didn't see it as sexual harassment. And I'm going to deal with the overlay of our society in just a minute that is patriarchal, that is elitist, that is male-dominated, that is sexist. It's almost like these men have blinders on. Like, I didn't know that the kiss would be considered sexual in nature. What? What? All right, let's go on. Brett Ratner. Rape. He's a producer and director. Rape, sexual assault, and harassment of six women, including exposing himself and masturbating. What? Listen, I am no prude. At the same time, what possesses a man? Masturbate in front of a woman that didn't ask you to do it. It's sheer insanity. Kurt Webster, October 31st, and Brett Ratner, looks like it was November 1st, October 31st. Kurt Webster, music publicist, sexual assault. Wait a minute. Here we go. It's 1, 2, 3. Three men accused of sexual assault stepped away from his firm, Webster Public Relations. Mr. Webster has had multiple relationships over the course of his professional life, all of which have been consensual, a representative said in response to the first accusation. So let's dissect this a bit, and I want somebody to hit me up in the chat. Let me just say something in the chat right now. What do you think about what I'm reading? See, consensual, listen. Consensual does not mean that within the context of the consensual nature of the relationship that unwanted sexual advances didn't take place. Look, if I'm in a relationship with a woman, does that thereby mean that I own her body? If you are in a relationship, man, with a woman, does that mean that you then have rights over her body? In my estimation, no. That means in the context of a relationship. And I'm going to take it so far as to say marriage. That you don't have a right over that woman's body. It's her body. She may not feel like it. She may have a headache. She may be angry with you. She may just be distracted, whatever. Consensual relationships. And it's interesting how lawyers word things. Consensual relationship does not equal whatever I say and do is okay from a sexual standpoint. So here we go. Andy Dick, actor, that's his last name. I'm not trying to be funny. Sexual harassment, including groping. He was fired from the film. I didn't grope anybody. I might have kissed somebody on the cheek to say goodbye and then licked them. Licked them. Wait a minute. I was drinking that water too fast. Let me just send a note on Blog Talk and Facebook that I'm on the air to tune in. Did anybody hear what I just read? This is the New York Times. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to post this article because it blows my mind. Linda Kane. Listen to this. I have to read it again. Andy Dick said, I didn't grope anybody. So he denies that. I might have kissed somebody on the cheek. No, you did kiss somebody on the cheek. To say goodbye and then licked them. Well, where did you lick them? So you're going to put your saliva on somebody's body part? That's not just sexual harassment. That's disgusting. I wish I was making this up, and that's why I posted the link to the article. So, you know, I am not fabricating. I'm not engaging him in hyperbole. I'm not exaggerating. Michael Oreskes, head of news at NPR and former New York Times editor. These are high-profile men. Sexual harassment of three women. He resigned. I am deeply sorry to the people I hurt. My behavior was wrong and inexcusable, and I accept full responsibility. Kudos to you for accepting full responsibility. Hamilton Fish, president and publisher of the New Republic, complaints by female employees. He resigned. Women have longstanding and profound concerns with respect to their treatment in the workplace. Many men have a lot to learn in this regard. I know I do, and I hope for and encourage that new direction. Kevin Spacey, accusation, sexual assault of multiple men and sexual misconduct with the minor, suspended from House of Cards and cut from other projects. And it says Kevin Spacey is taking the time necessary to seek evaluation and treatment, said his representative in a statement. Ken Baker, E! News correspondent, accusation, sexual harassment of two women, including unwanted kissing and inappropriate messages, pulled from air while NBC Universal investigates. Response, I'm very disturbed by these anonymous allegations, which make my heart ache. I take them very serious. And it goes on. I'm just going to list the rest just quickly. Mark Halpern, NBC News and MSNBC contributor. Rick Nahera, director of CBS's Diversity Showcase. Knight Landisman, publisher of Art Forum. Leon Weisseltier, a former editor of the New Republic. Terry Richardson, fashion photographer. James Toback, director and writer John Best, chief executive of the Best Restaurant Group, Lockhart Steele, editorial director of Vox Media, Robert Scoble, tech blogger and co-founder of the Transformation Groups, Chris Savino, creator and showrunner of The Loud House, Harvey Weinstein, producer and co-founder of The Weinstein Company. All of these are men who've been accused of sexual harassment. Insane. So, how do we understand this? Why does it take place? Why do men feel empowered? Because that's what it is. To engage in unwanted sexualized behavior, sexual behavior, or behavior that the women perceive as rising to the level of sexual harassment and or sexual assault. Because in America, if not in the world in general, there is the overlay of patriarchy, of men in power who, many of whom, though not all of whom, impose that power on others. And I'm not going to give a detailed socio-political definition. I'm giving you finesse definition. Men in power who feel empowered and who give themselves permission to impose that power on others. And when it comes to women, to impose that power in sexual behavior, sexualized behavior, and behavior that women perceive as sexual or sexualized. Furthermore, in 2017, we still, in many respects, see women and treat women as second-class citizens. By and large, for example, women in the workplace do not earn the same as men. The latest statistic that I remember is about 72%, 72 cents for every dollar that a man makes. Well, the work is not different, so why should the pay be different? Because in most places of work and in most areas of this society, the overwhelming majority of the gender that is in power still in 2017 is male, and I will add, is white. Now, let me create a caveat here. Are there men, African-American men, who engage in sexual harassment and sexual assault? Most definitely. Are there Latino men who engage in sexual harassment or sexual assault? Most definitely. Are there Indian men who likewise engage in sexual assault and sexual harassment? Yes, there are. Are there Asian men? Yes, there are. I don't know. Did I forget any gender? Or should I say racial group or ethnic group? I don't believe so. If I did, somebody hit me up in the chat and let me know. In terms of structural power, in terms of historic power, we know that those in positions of power in government, in business, in nonprofit organizations have been white men. And that list I read, all white men. That said, there are men of other races and ethnic groups who do engage in sexual harassment and or sexual assault. Malik Abdul-Zahir, I appreciate you hitting us up in the chat. I can't speak for all women and men, but that word consensual seems to be different. You know what, Malik, I agree with you. And I'll go back to one of the statements I read. I don't know if you just logged on. Where is this? Jeff Hoover, he says, I engaged in banter that was consensual, but make no mistake, it was wrong on my part to do it. And then there was another gentleman who, maybe I'm using that word gentleman loosely. All right, Kurt Webster. Mr. Webster has had multiple relationships over the course of his professional life, all of which have been consensual, a representative said. And he was accused of sexual assault. So just because, including unwanted touching, so just because it was consensual does not mean that all of the behavior associated with that, quote unquote, those consensual relationships was welcome. Picking up on some social cues is important. I agree. And I'll take it a step further. See, how about this? And this is very simple, man. And I'm going to say, Malika, I agree. More importantly, asking permission is a fail-proof way of ascertaining whether or not a particular behavior is appropriate, right? Right? Is that simple? And Ricky Vera, men are egotistical beings, narcissistic men, who due to their narcissism require constant acknowledgement and praise tend to be in the majority. Many lack understanding boundaries. I agree 100%, Ricky Vera. It's the truth. You know, when in doubt, ask, right? When in doubt. I remember when I was a director in a hospice company, one of my colleagues who I had known for, I would say, at least 5 years, had a piece of lint. I believe it was on her shoulder. She was wearing a suit with a skirt. And I said to the person, do you mind if you have a piece of lint on your jacket? Do you mind if I remove it? She says, man, come on. Of course not. I said, look, look, I'm just making sure. I'll never forget. And I adopt this as a practice. My executive director in my former company agreed, Malika, especially if you want a person in power, because see, that power dynamic can yield some very, very interesting, not the right word. It can easily be misinterpreted. Behaviors, particularly for those in power, when it's a superior and subordinate, not that I believe in superior and subordinate in terms of humanity, yet in an organization, there are superiors and subordinates. Those of us who are superiors need to be very careful. For example, I learned in management 101 not to stand over somebody. That's an automatic display of power. And I will sit down so I'm looking at the person face to face. I'll never forget my executive director, who happened to be female. I think she hadn't seen me all week. I was out, she was out. And when she came back, she was congratulating me on something. She says, may I give you a hug? I said to the person, of course not. I don't mind. And even though I don't really hug in the workplace, if there was ever an occasion when I would meet someone, let's say I work in sales, I'm going out to an account, and just this past week I met someone who I hadn't seen in probably 2 years. She hugged me, you know, may I? Yes. So when in doubt, and of course this applies to women too, to be sure, when Lynn Sislo, what's up? How are you? Ask. See, I don't think any of these men, and I did provide the link, I don't think they asked. They assume I'm a man in power. I got this. Mwah. Ugh. I mean, it's the guy who licks them. How do you admit that you lick somebody? How do you do that? And how do you lick somebody? How do you lick somebody in the workplace? And then how do you think that licking someone, dogs lick? how do you think that is in any way appropriate in civilized society? And again, I'm no prude. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not. However, wait, what? This gentleman admitted to licking somebody. So let me go back to the overlay. Patriarchy, sexism, privilege. And I'll extract race from the argument just for a moment, because I realize that I have a multicultural viewership and listenership. Privilege, someone who, by virtue of their status in society, their social standing, their socioeconomic level, is taught in this society that basically if you're at the right level in society, if you have enough money, you basically can do whatever you want to. What about the now famous words, though they're infamous in nature, of Donald Trump? And I'm never going to call him President Trump. You can grab women by the pussy. What? And for those who don't like the word that I just used, I'm just quoting what he said. See, that is the quintessential comment of someone who has been, in whom privilege has been ingrained, part and parcel of the DNA of this society, that there are men who actually not only believe that, but who have no problem saying that. See, it's one thing to believe it, and to believe it is bad, but to say it, and to say it with full conviction, like my name, that's amazing to me. But that's part of what males have created vis-a-vis women in this society. Total disregard for the other person. I agree. Total. So that's the overlay. And then there's a piece of this. And I am going to read a short definition that probably has been popularized within the last 5 years, if not within the last couple of years, rape culture. And I love Wikipedia. I'm not paid to promote Wikipedia yet. If you want a succinct and or comprehensive definition of anything, if you want a short article or a long article, Wikipedia is the place to go. So I just saw that there is a film in 1975 entitled Rape Culture. Rape culture is a sociological concept used to describe a setting in which rape is pervasive and normalized due to societal attitudes about gender and sexuality. Behaviors commonly associated with rape culture include victim blaming, slut shaming, sexual objectification, trivializing rape, denial of widespread rape, refusing to acknowledge the harm caused by some forms of sexual violence, or some combination of these. The notion of rape culture has been used to describe and explain behavior within social groups, including prison rape and in conflict areas where war rape is used as psychological warfare. Entire societies have been alleged to be rape cultures. And you know what? Even in America, there's a part of American society that promotes, perpetuates, and that supports rape culture. The 1992, I think it was either 1991 or 92, nothing but a G thing. And I'm not here to in any way condemn Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre. Remember that scene in the video? Pulled a woman's shirt down. There have been other reports of at Freaknik. And I remember several years ago at a parade in New York, pulled a woman's shirt down, men grabbing a woman's behind that they don't know, et cetera, et cetera. Gang banging, all of that. Running a train. I remember when I was in high school, that was a concert, running a train, right? All that's part of rape culture. Linda Kane, yes, it is all about power. Why do women come out years later? Why not say something at the moment? Are women that timid? Linda, I'm not a woman. I mean, obviously, I think, and this is something that I heard on the radio. And it was, I believe it was Charlemagne the God on 105.1 FM. And he said this: why should there be a statute of limitation on someone telling their truth or someone telling the story of their trauma? See what I mean? I've heard, because it's kind of the classic rebuttal that women have feared for their careers. Some feared for their lives. Others feared for their livelihood. See what I mean? And maybe one woman coming out, if you will, and telling her story empowers other women, emboldens other women to come out and tell their story. So what I'd like to do, because I don't want to seem like I'm evading the question, me not being a woman, is there a woman who is Maury Kusa, what's up? Is there a woman who'd like to comment, who'd like to answer that question? And the thing is, I respect women enough not to want to speak for them, though, of course, as a host, I don't want to act like I'm avoiding any questions. You understand? And I think that Ricky Vera, I recall a movie with Robert Redford, Woody Harrelson, Indecent Proposal, yes, where a man uses his economic fortitude to negotiate and pry off a couple's integrity. And I think in Indecent Proposal, it was Robert Redford and who else? Demi Moore, Robert Redford, and Woody Harrelson. And he offered Woody Harrelson $1 million to have sex with his wife. Now, I don't recall all the details. I did watch the movie. I don't recall all the details of it. I don't know if, I'm sure she consented. I don't remember if he encouraged her to consent. And even if he did, think about that. If Woody Harrelson did, let's just say for argument's sake in this movie that Woody Harrelson consented for his wife to have sex or encouraged her to have sex with Robert Redford for $1 million. So granted, $1 million is a lot of money, but basically you, in so doing, what is the sub theme here? And Ricky Vera, I appreciate you citing that movie. What's the sub theme? That a woman is for sale. Power was at play. And in terms of Robert Redford, power was at play. Also, the objectifying of Demi Moore was at play because in his mind, I want another man's wife. And all I need to do is set the right price. And I can have it. So what is that? That's privilege. That's entitlement. That's power. Woody Harrelson, likewise, in accepting the money, for whatever reason he accepted it, you just objectified your wife. Right? Somebody hit me up. Even though it was $1 million price tag, I get that. But the fact that you would then put a price tag on your wife, Woody Harrelson in this movie, not make his wife a prostitute. That's deep. But that movie illustrates the overlay in this society, one of power, one of privilege, one of sexism, one of elitism, one of the objectifying of women. And so therefore, men who think like that can kiss a woman and then lick a woman and see nothing wrong with that. Men can pull out their penises and masturbate in front of women and think it's okay. Men can grab women's behinds and grab their breasts and grab their vaginas and see nothing wrong with it. Men can have sex, group sex with a woman, pass her from man to man to man, and see it as perfectly legitimate and see it as a rite of passage and something to thump their chest and dap each other and all of that. Malik Abdul-Zahi, I understand the inner denial we have about uncomfortable situations, but waiting so long does pose a problem. It creates doubt. And it being out it beats, I don't know if, and it being out the opportunist, maybe that was a misspelling. I think Malika, it does raise doubt. I think the comment, and I believe it was by Charlemagne the God on 105.1 FM, WQHC, is this the other side? This is the counterbalance. Is there a statute of limitation on, and I'll put it differently, and maybe this is the best way to put it, is there a statute of limitations on one's trauma? See, I'm a man, and I know as a man I'm part of a group that has a gender that has imposed power on women. See, I know this. So I'm like George Clinton said, We'll be pecking lightly, like a woodpecker with a headache, because it's cheaper to funk than it is to pay attention. I'm pecking lightly. I'm treading lightly over these waters. You understand? Because I realize my position, even as an African American man who historically has been part of an oppressed race. At the same time, I'm still a man, and I still live in a society in which men, for the most part, still wield power. And there's this sense, not of me so much, of my gender, of entitlement. I'm just thinking out loud here. If I was traumatized by another human being, and that trauma forced me to go within myself and not mention it, and then I heard other people 10 years later, 15 years later, talk about it, that may give me the power to talk about it. So I would not appreciate somebody who then said, well, why'd you wait so long? Because, you know, maybe it took me 10 years to process it. So maybe with these women, maybe it took them 5, 10, 15 years to process the trauma. And I think trauma, yes, 50 Shades of Grey had a character that was chauvinistic and used his stature to prey on an inexperienced young woman, just an opinion as a reader. Yes. And I saw 50 Shades of Grey and see the next one, and I read part of the book. So of any other women who want to comment, you can call in 657-383-0106, 657-383-0106. You're listening to Real and Raw Relationship Media. Tonight's topic is when a woman says no. No. When a woman says no, I don't want to be licked. I don't want to be kissed. I don't want to be hugged. I don't want to be touched. I don't want to see your penis. I didn't ask to see your penis. And you know what? I'm gonna go way, way out on a limb. We are undressed. We are aroused. We're about to engage in intercourse. And I changed my mind. No, I changed my mind. I don't want to. That's still a no. So what do we do, men, when a woman says no? In that moment, ladies, what do you do? In that moment, what do you expect a man to do? In that moment. Now, you, the rendezvous was planned. It was agreed upon. It was consensual, right? That word which we heard earlier, it was consensual. Wherever you are, in the hotel, in the motel, I don't want to say Holiday Inn, that sounds too much like the Sugar Hill Gang. In the hotel, in the motel, in the bedroom, in the kitchen, in the car, wherever you decide that the sexual encounter is going to take place. Foreplay has been engaged and you ready. Whatever you do to prepare, you were ready right there. You almost there at the moment. LOL, Linda Kane said. It's real talk. In the moment, you're right there. But all of a sudden, ladies, you just say, no. No. Nope. Nope. And I remember a former friend of mine's father, who's now deceased, said this about 30 years ago. And I won't use the exact word he used, but he used the D word. I won't use the D word. He said a stiff penis has no conscience. Be that as it may, what happens in that moment when a woman changes her mind? Somebody hit me up. All right, before we go there, sexual harassment. So, sexual harassment is bullying or coercion of a sexual nature, or the unwelcome or inappropriate promise of reward exchange for sexual favors. In most modern legal contexts, sexual harassment is illegal, as defined by the United States Equal Opportunity Employment Commission, or EEOC. Quote, it is unlawful to harass a person, an applicant or employee, because of that person's sex. Quote, unquote. Harassment can include sexual harassment or unwelcome sexual advances, requests for sexual favors, and other verbal or physical harassment of a sexual nature. The legal definition of sexual harassment varies by jurisdiction. Sexual harassment is subject to a directive in the European Union. Goes on. See? Unwanted. See, it's sexual harassment is defined by the recipient, not by the quote-unquote actor. Unwanted. I don't want you to lick me, kiss me, hug me, touch me. I don't want it. I don't want sexualized jokes. I don't want adult humor stated around me. Do you know in the workplace, someone telling, they say a dirty joke around someone can be considered sexual harassment? Listen, everybody, the game has changed. And I see that there's someone who just called in. And my apologies that you're waiting for 4 minutes. Good evening. Welcome to Real and Raw. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from. And before you do that, I apologize because I just saw that you've been holding for 4 minutes and you've been patient. Thank you.
Thank you. It's Malika.
Good evening. Orange. Hey, Malika. How are you?
I am well.
Our special guest caller. So, Malika, I've been kind of passionate tonight, and I appreciate that you've called in as a woman. So, first, let me ask you, do you have a question or comment? And then I have a question for you. So, do you have a question or comment?
Okay. I do have a comment, you know, because I understand. You know what, I can see where this is going. No means no. And I understand about, as I posted earlier, about, you know, things being, you know, different as far as the idea of what consensual is in terms of male and female. Men, from my experience, I can't talk from a man's perspective, but what it seems in old, you know, general terms, because even with Louis C.K., he said he flashed women, but they never said no. He said that in his letter. He said they never said no, but he did acknowledge his abuse of power. Mm. Guys hear the yes, and just like you said, they feel like they own the body, and it's yes all around. Like, you're not about to just start doing whatever you want to do. There's still the social cues that you do have to adhere to. But sometimes when men think that a hug can be consensual and okay because the other person may have awkwardly, you know, leaned in and seemed like they reciprocated and it was okay, and that was the okay.
Mm.
But you also have to see it from a female's perspective or the person's perspective, because it may not just be female who feels uncomfortable. You know, you don't know what that person has gone through. You know, you don't know what a hug can trigger. You know, you don't know if this is some kind of weird place, space, some, you know, it feels like a reenactment of something that went, you don't know where their headspace is. So you can't go in for a hug or go in for a kiss or in the ideas of that disgusting Andy Dick, lick somebody's face. And
can you imagine that?
That is okay.
Malika,
some random person.
So Malika, for me, it's very simple. It's not rocket science. And I'm not saying that to you to rebut you. I'm saying this as a man who considers himself principled, who's worked in corporate America for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
When in doubt, ask. See, and Ricky Vera said something earlier. Let me see if I can pull it up. I'm just going back to my chat here. Essentially, it's a total disregard for the other person. It's an assumption that what I do to a woman is okay. So if I unzip my pants and pull out my penis and masturbate, it's okay. If I touch a woman, I touch a woman's genitals or behind, it's okay. I mean, George Bush, George H.W. Bush apologized.
Oh.
He said for groping, I think it was groping a 16-year-old. I looked at the headline preparing for the show. You see, and remember the actress who came out and basically complained. His spokesperson said, "Oh well, you know, Alzheimer's, dementia, his mental capacity now has diminished to the point where there's certain parts of the brain that are now muted, if you will, and that can give rise to certain behaviors that are not controlled." Come on. Mrs. Bush or his assistant should have just wheeled him away from the woman after they saw his hair coming out. You understand? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when in doubt, just ask, right? Don't assume that mm-hmm. touching a woman is appropriate, that she wants it. You see
exactly.
what I mean?
And also, I mean, you don't understand, like, being from, like, a teenager on up, women are sexually harassed verbally, physically, manhandled. This is just,
manhandled.
You know, me being
manhandled.
A woman. Yeah. I know that sounds bad, right?
No pun intended, but it's the truth.
All our lives, that once you get into the workplace, you're like, when the flip does it stop? And then you go into these comfortable, supposedly comfortable situation, try to create a comfortable situation by not saying anything. And that's where holding it in for 20 years comes from.
There it is. And so I was going to ask you, and this is in response to something that Linda Kane wrote, and I appreciate her writing it. You know, why do some women come out years later? So in your estimation, Malika, why do some women come out years later?
Yeah, to be honest with you, you got to see it as most of these people are really good people and they don't want to mess up somebody's career, or they don't want to see themselves fall apart, or they don't even want to acknowledge it even happened in the first place. So, we all go through that. You know, there's this the denial moment. Some people last a lot longer than others. And, women have been, groped and ass-grabbed. They'll talk about it years later and laugh about it. But if they sat in therapy and talked about how many times some man thought that their impressive penis showing and dick pics and unsolicited this
unsolicited.
And that. And
exactly.
Like, if
exactly.
they had to go in therapy and talk about it, just about every woman would be traumatized. Like, you would consider them unable to work. Disability. That's what you would actually
right.
get if you got women on the couch. And that's just being really honest. So in the workplace, you have to assume somebody's got a battle cry they're about to let loose, and you
well
don't want to be on the receiving end of it. So you better play
well
cautious.
You know what it is, Malika? At the end of the day, as they say, it's on the man's part, it's the assumption of permission. And I'm gonna
mm-hmm.
post that. When it comes to unwanted sexual or sexualized advances by men, it's the assumption of permission on the part of women that emboldens them. If I misspelled sexualized, I'm typing quickly. It's the assumption of permission. In other words, you want this. See, you really want this. See, you want me to pull my penis out and masturbate in front of you. I know you didn't say that you did, but I know you did because I'm finesse.
You're still
and I have
smiling. You're still
and
smiling.
Right. And I'm finesse. I'm just using myself as an example. I'm a media personality. I know you want me, so I'm gonna pull out my penis and I'm gonna masturbate. Or I'm gonna grab your breast or grab your vagina or grab your behind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna do it because I know you want this, and I'm gonna kiss you and
mm-hmm.
lick you. Because you have had fantasies about getting licked by me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take it a step further. And even though we're in the moment. And you say no, you're just lying to me. You really want it because if you didn't want it, you wouldn't be here. Now you don't have the right
mm-hmm.
to change your mind. You don't have the right to change your mind. You don't have a right to lose the mood. You don't have a right to do that because you really want it. And because you really want it, I'm gonna make sure you get this. I'm gonna make sure you get it.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that is what too many men who are in
yeah.
power and not in power really think, see. And it's this overlay, as I would submit, of patriarchy, sexism, privilege, power, and the objectifying of women that inculcates within men that mindset. What do you say, Malika? I know I just went on a long, it wasn't a tirade, but lack of better words. You understand?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? And to my viewing audience and my listening audience, does that make sense? And grateful for those who are viewing right now. We're talking about when a woman says no. So, Malika, do you have any other questions or do you have any other comments?
No, that was pretty much it. That was a topic I wanted to give my input about. It was great.
All right, hey. I appreciate you calling in. Feel free to continue listening, all right?
No problem.
All right, have a good night.
You too. Bye.
So we're almost at the end of the show. It's about 9:52. I want to end by saying this, and I want to end by answering the question. When a woman says no, what do? You stop. Period. May I hug you? No, don't hug. May I kiss you? You're out on a date. First date. Date went very well. You felt the energy. You felt the vibe. Good conversation, whatever. Good music, good dancing, good food, whatever. And it's the end of the evening, and you're getting out of the car. You're walking up the steps. And at that moment, you ask, may I kiss you? And she says no. No. No means no. There's no need to splice that. There's no need to parse that. There's no need to dissect that. To me, no means no. In particular, as a matter of principle, and if you don't have principles, men, hold on for a second. And if it's not a matter of principle, it's a matter of pragmatism. We're living in a very, very sensitive time when it comes to men's behavior with respect to women. Interestingly enough, if it's not a matter of principle, moral, spirituality, then it's a matter of pragmatism. No, step back. May I hug you? No, don't. And I will even go so far as to say this. A, ask permission. B, respect the no. C, respect the no, even if initially it was a yes. And I'm not going to go to the place of, you know, women, make sure you're clear. I'm not, because it almost sounds like blaming the victim, and I don't want to do that. If it was a female host, maybe she could say that, and it could pass as something to be considered. I'm not going to walk down that road. No means no, even if it was a yes initially. People have the right to change their mind. This thing is serious. And I'm not going to be graphic, but even if you have the point of penetration and she says no, yo, son, get up. I know you're excited. Get up. I know you're ready. Get up. I know you've been waiting for this for a while. Get up. But maybe you plan for a minute. Maybe you know, three movies, four dinners, and 25 conversations and two sexting sessions. I don't care. Get up. No means no. I believe that. No means no. Even in marriage, a woman has a right to her body. I believe that. I have a right to mine. Right? You see what I'm saying? I have a right to mine, so why shouldn't a woman have a right to hers? If I don't want to engage in a particular sexual or sexualized behavior, I should be able to say no, right? And I should have that woman respected. See what I'm saying? And even if it's a man, yo, I'm a heterosexual male. I don't mind a compliment, but you know, once you come on to me, and I've had gay men come on to me, once I've let you know, I appreciate the compliment. Thank you so much. But I'm heterosexual. All right, now you gotta chill. Let it go now. See, because once you go any further, now you're creating a very, very awkward dynamic. Same thing with a man toward a woman. Can I inbox you? No, okay, I'm done. Can I have your number? No, I'm done. I've never chased And I'm just using myself as an example. I don't chase. I don't harass. I don't pursue like that. No, to me, no means no. If you rethink your no later on, then I may already be gone, right? See what I'm saying? But for me, no means no. Man, no means no. Even if it's a soft no, right? Even if it's a subtle no. Even if it's a no. Yo, done. See, again, if it's not a matter of principle, it should be a matter of pragmatism. I'm going to put that in the chat. If it's not a matter of principle, spell it right, it should be a matter of pragmatism. I think I spelled it right. Yes. You understand me, man? Because, hey, who may be listening would like to get a sexual harassment accusation? Just, you know what? In the workplace, listen, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what HR says. The accusation itself is damn near conviction. So it's better to be safe than sorry. Even in our relationship, let me adjust my hat. Even in our relationships, I'd rather you come back to me later on and say, oh, Vanessa, I really meant yes. And you know what I would say? But you said no. So don't play with my emotions. See, then you can put it back on the woman. Don't play with my emotions. You said no. So be clear. But I'm going to err, particularly in this day and age, I'm going to err on the side of caution. So I think I've said enough tonight. This has been a phenomenal time. Tonight's topic was, I'm just clicking back between Blog Talk Radio and Be Live, see if we have any more callers. Tonight's topic has been when a woman says no. Women, I hope that you felt empowered by tonight's topic. Not every man is going to disrespect you. There are men who will honor your no. Men, I hope that you found this conversation fruitful. And maybe for most of us, if not all of us, it was a gentle reminder. Yeah, let me just err on the side of caution, right? Appreciate you listening. Appreciate you viewing. Tune in next week. And I want to thank Ricky Vera for a comment he made to my live this morning to stimulate my own thinking to talk next week about when a man says no. We don't really hear about that. But sexual harassment and sexual assault goes both ways. So you've been listening to Real and Raw, a no-holds-barred relationship conversation. I'm your host, Vanessa. Everybody, one love. We'll be back next week. Also, tune in tomorrow for Urban Entrepreneurs. Same time, same broadcast. My guest will be Mae Smallwood, who is an entrepreneur, who will talk tomorrow about the mindset of the entrepreneur. Stay tuned tomorrow morning for the live. All right, everybody, as we say again, one love. Peace.